Dear students, let's work through worksheet number two, bond pricing, bond prices, bond valuation, bond yields. Number one, a 7% 30-year bond has a par value of 1,000 and a call price of 1,030. So you'll see it quoted as 100 and 103. I don't know why they do that, but they do, right? So it has a $30 call premium. If they want to refinance, they have to pay an extra $30 over the $1,000 par value. It is callable in 10 years, so there's a call protection period of 10 years. But the bond is currently selling for $1,060, so it's a premium bond. So we have to now calculate the current yield, yield to maturity, and the yield to call of this bond. So we remember the formula sheet. We have the formula sheet at our disposal. And if you remember, the current yield is equal to the annual interest, what interest the bond is paying, divided by what the market price or the market value is. So what's a 7% bond pay? $70. Well, actually, it pays $35 twice each year, but let's make it easy, $70 a year. And we have to pay $1,060 for it. So $70 divided by the market price of $1,060 is 0.06604. So you could write 6.6, but we'd like to see at least three, even four digits of accuracy, two or three digits to the right of the decimal point. So 6.604 would be good to show. 6.60 is okay. 6.6 is all right, but we'd like to see at least two digits to the right of the decimal point, okay? Okay. Don't round it off to 7%. No, that's not good. Why? Because that means anything between 6.5 and 7.5, and that's a big spread in the bond world. Now, the yield to maturity, that's the tricky one. It looks scary, but really it's not that difficult, dear students. What do? You just go to the formula and realize that you have to do what's inside the parentheses first, and then what's on the top, and then what's on the bottom. I actually like to do the bottom first. I don't know why, but I just do. So what's at the bottom? We take the par value plus the market value and then divide by 2. So all we're doing is taking the average between the par value, which in this class, as will always be, 1,000. We know that some bonds, a few bonds, are 5 and 10,000, but we're not worried about those. $1,000, and then we add the market value, 1,060, and that gives us 2,060, divide by 2, and we get 1,030. And some of you could have eyeballed that. You could have figured it out in your head, because the midpoint between 1,000 and 1,060 is 1,030, the average, right? Now, that's the bottom, that's the easy part. Now, the top part is a little scary. The annual interest, okay, put that aside, that's $70 on a 7% bond. Don't put 7 cents, don't put 0.07, okay? All right, it's $70. If it were a dollar bond, yeah, it would be 7 cents, but it's a $1,000 bond. And then what we have to do is we have to take the par value minus the market value. Uh-oh, negative numbers. Oh, don't relax. So it's 1,000 minus 1,060, the par value minus the market value. That's a negative 60. And then we have to divide by the years to maturity. Well, it's a 30-year bond, so it won't mature until 30 years from now. So you take the 1,000 minus the 1,060, that's a negative 60, divided by 30, and that turns out to be a negative 2. Now, if you're having trouble with the negative numbers, contact me. Go to the Academic Success Center. Ask one of the math tutors to help you with negative numbers. It's not that hard. And so what does that mean, the negative 2 in the upper part? It means every year we're taking $2 away from the $70 that we're going to get in interest, because the bond is eventually going to mature at 1,000. We bought it at 1,060, but it's going to take 30 years for it to come back and be worth 1,000. And so it's actually, you know, when you think about it, it looks scary. The formula looks scary, but it really makes a lot of sense. You know, you're saying, okay, every year this bond is going to go down by $2. Now, that's an approximation. We don't really know what the bond is going to go down by because interest rates are changing all the time and the prices are fluctuating nowhere near as, they don't fluctuate anywhere near as stocks, but they do. So take the $70, add a negative $2, and you get $68. Then take this $68 divided by the 1,030, and you get 0.06602. So the current yield was 6.604, but because if we hold it to maturity, we're only going to get, you know, $1,000 back, then we've actually lost a little bit, haven't we? Because we bought it for $1,060 and we get $1,000 back. And that makes sense. Not much, it's a little bit less than the current yield, but it's not much less than the current yield. So, but it's something that we must know about, something we must take into account. Excuse me. So that's the yield to maturity. Now, let's take a look at the yield to call, which is essentially the same, dear students. It's essentially the same as the yield to maturity. Now, what's the difference? Well, the yield to call takes into account the fact that on a premium bond, there's a chance that they'll call it away from us, especially if the interest rates have fallen dramatically. So in our case, we're saying, you know what? This thing isn't callable for 10 years, but maybe in 10 years they're going to call it away from us. We'd like to know what the yield to call would be. So the only difference is you replace the par value with the call value because that's what we're going to get when it's called away from us. And we replace the yields to maturity, the years to maturity, with the years to call. Number of years to maturity, we replace that with the number of years to call, which again, that makes sense also because that's when they're going to call it away from us. So when you look at these things, I know they look scary and so many numbers, so many things, but it makes sense. It's not that hard. So let's do this. Let's do the bottom. That's what I like to do first, but you decide. The call value is 1,030. Remember, if they do call it away from us, they have to pay us 1,030, not 1,000, which is what they pay us when it matures. So the market value is 1,060. You take 1,030 plus 1,060, that's 2,090. Divide that by 2 and you get 1,045. Yes? Everybody get that? Okay. So that's the bottom. Hang on to that. Now, the top, we take the annual interest. Well, it's a 7% bond. It's $70. And now we take the call value minus the market value. So 1,030 minus 1,060, that's a negative 30. So you take negative 30 divided by 10 years to call, not 30 years until maturity, but 10 years to call. And it turns out that that's a negative 3. So what are we looking at here? We're saying that, you know what, for the next 10 years, we're going to deduct $3 from that annual interest, assuming that they call it away from us. And that's what we're going to use to calculate our yield to call. So $70 plus a negative 3 gives us $67 divided by the 1,045. That gives us 0.06411. or 6.411%. That's lower than the yield to maturity and the yield to call. Well, that makes sense because if they call it away from us, we are not going to be able to take advantage of the fact that they're paying us a higher interest rate than other bonds are paying us. So we don't get to take advantage of the larger payments. But again, it's not that big a difference. And they might not call it. They might decide, it's not worth it. Okay, so make sure you can do those. They're not that hard. Do them enough times, and it will be very simple to you. Because I find that most of the people who do these a few times, they go, okay, I can do it. A few people have to do them more than a few times. I'm one of them. And then they get it. But if you have any troubles, you know who to call, right? Number two, a married couple from California is in the 35% federal tax bracket and the 11% California tax bracket. That means they're doing all right, folks. They're making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. They're looking at three different bonds. A 6% Arizona bond, which is federal tax-free. Remember, muni bonds, in general, there's a couple of exceptions with the alternative minimum tax, but we don't have to worry about those for this, for us, for our class. Muni bonds are always federal tax exempt, tax-free. The IRS doesn't like that term, anyway, tax-free. A 5.5% California bond, which is double tax-free because they're a California couple. They don't have to pay federal taxes and they don't have to pay state income taxes. And a fully taxable 8% corporate bond. Never do we do calculations with corporate bonds because they are already fully taxable. Which bond offers the highest after-tax interest rate? From just looking at them, we might be tempted to say, you know what, I think that California bond's going to win out. But we have to do the calculation to be sure, right? Because if somebody didn't know about the tax advantages of muni bonds, they might say, well, you go with the corporate bond. No. We've got to do the taxable equivalent yield formula. Because if we don't, we're going to make a bad decision often. Because especially for people in higher tax brackets, for them it's usually muni bonds are big advantage, and that's why they're very popular with high net worth individuals. So the fully taxable corporate bond we don't touch, 8%. The 6% Arizona bond, which is just federal tax free, we use the taxable equivalent yield, which is pretty straightforward. You take the muni bond yield and then divide it by 1 minus the federal tax bracket. Now, make sure you do the denominator first and then divide the denominator into the numerator. So that they're in the 35% tax bracket. 1 minus 35%, well, that's 0.35. 1, or it's basically you're taking 100% minus 35%. Well, that's 1.01 minus 0.35, and that's 0.65. So if you take 0.06, the muni bond yield, divided by 0.65, that yield is 9.23%, 9.231, you could write 3 or 4 digits. That's pretty darn good, isn't it? Yes. In fact, that's better than that corporate bond, isn't it? So right off the bat, we know that the Arizona bond's a better deal for these people in the high tax bracket. But now we've got to take a look at the California double tax-free, double tax-exempt bond. And so let's take a look at that one. Now that calculation's a little trickier, isn't it? There are actually two different calculations. One that's simpler and is not typically the most accurate for high net worth individuals. And the one that we're going to do here that is more complicated, there's more calculations to do, but it is more accurate. Why? Because if you've taken Business 121, we go through the Schedule A, typical homeowners itemized deductions. People in this tax bracket typically itemize their deductions, and this formula is for them. Now, if they didn't, if they were in the high tax bracket and didn't itemize their deductions, they would use the simpler one, which is on the Chapter 10 formula sheet. So that is the muni bond yield, again, divided by that bad boy down there that's scary. But just relax. Go into the parentheses and do the innermost one first. It's 1 minus then the quantity fed bracket, plus the quantity state bracket times the quantity 1 minus the Fed bracket. Relax. Just go into the middle one, the one right in the middle, the most innermost, and that's 1 minus the federal bracket. Well, that's 1 minus 0.035, 35%. And we did that back in the first one. That's 0.65, right? Then what we do is we multiply the state income bracket of 11% times that, 0.11 times 0.065. And that gives us 0.0715. Check it out. Make sure I did it right. You know, I make a lot of mistakes. Now we add that to the federal. Now you go one step outside of the parentheses. 0.35 plus 0.0715. Make sure I did it right. That's 0.4215. Did I do it right? Make sure I did, because I make mistakes. I think I did it right, yeah. And so then you have to go way out to the 1 minus that. Oh, my goodness. It's not that hard. Do it a few times and you'll say, okay, I can do this. So 1 minus 0.4215 is 0.5785. Finally, we've done the denominator. Now we can take the muni bond yield, the California bond yield, which is 5.5%, which is 0.055. Make sure you can understand that. If not, contact me. 0.055 divided by 0.5785 gives us approximately 9.51%, which is the best. It turns out the California in this case is the best. It looks like the lowest, but because of this couple's tax bracket, it's the best one for them. Cool. Okay, I'll do those a couple times. Because now we're ready to do number 3. Using annual compounding, find the prices for the following bonds. An 8% bond, 20 years, price to yield 5%. So interest rates have gone down. What kind of bond would we expect? Premium, right. And B, a 6% 10-year bond, price to yield 9%. Interest rates have gone up, so we would expect a discount bond. Okay, so let's do the calculations now and see what we get. Remember, you need the present value tables from Chapter 9. The one on the left side is for a series of payments, and the one on the right side is for a single payment. So the formula is this discounted cash flow model. The bond price is equal to the present value of the interest income plus the present value of the principal repayment. So what's the interest income? It's an 8% bond. It's $80 a year for 20 years. Price to yield 5%. So $80 is the annual payment. But now we need the present value multiplier for the left table, the one for a series of payments. Go across to 8% or 5%. Just seeing you for paying attention. 5%, right? Price to yield. You use the second number. Go across to 5%, down 20 years, and you should see 12.462. Is that what you got? Make sure. Because I make mistakes. So $80 times 12.462 is equal to $996.96. All right, that's what we're going to get. Even though we're going to get $80 for 20 years, well, that turns out to be $1,600. It's not worth that much to us today because we're not getting it today. If we were getting it today, sure, it'd be worth $1,600. But we're going to get it over the next 20 years. So we have to discount that stream of payments. I know the words are stupid. It just doesn't sound right. But that's the verbiage we use. That's the verb we use, discount it. So $80 times the present value multiplier, 12.462, gives us $996.96. But wait a minute, we're still going to get our $1,000 back in 20 years. Well, what's that worth to us today? What's the present value of that? So you go use the table on the right, the table on the right, which is the single payment table. Go across to 5% down 20 years, and you should see 0.377. Is that what you see? Okay. So now $1,000 times 0.377. Most of you can do that in your head. It's $377. But if not, just use your calculator. Take the $996.96 from the interest payments and the $377 from the principal single repayment. And we get $1,373.96, a premium bond. 8% bond we bought it at. Interest rates are now at 5%. We could sell the bond. We don't have to. But we could sell the bond now for a large capital gain. Now, the second one, B3B, is going to be the reverse, right? It's a 6% 10-year bond, but now interest rates have gone up to 9%. So what's the annual interest on a 6% bond? Everybody should yell it. $60. Okay, good. So we go use the left table, go across to 6 or 9%. 9%, right? You can't fool you guys. Go across to 9%, down 10 years, and you should see 6.418. Okay, so $60 times 6.418 is $385.08. So that's what the present value of the future stream of interest payments is worth. Then to that, we're going to add the $1,000 payment at the end of the 10 years. So we go across to 9%, down 10 years, and we see 0.422. So 1,000 times 0.422, that's $422. $1,000 10 years from now at 9% is worth to us today, $422. So add the 385.08 plus the 422, and you get a discount bond of $107.08, because interest rates have risen dramatically from 6 to 9%. Do we have to sell our bond? No, we don't have to sell our bond. We can hang on to it, and in 10 years, we're going to get our $1,000 back. It's that simple. But if we were to sell it now, oh boy, people are not going to pay us $1,000 for it. They're only going to pay us a little over $800. Do these over and over. You don't have to do them that many times, but do them over and over again, and you will see that they're actually pretty straightforward. The words get in the way. Be awesome, dear students. We are so proud of you.